Little George Winston music to get us started in our talk about bread. When it comes to baking, you need ingredients, you need time, temperature, and techniques. And we're going to talk about all those variables and look at what happens when you change them. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Back with us, Paul Novak. He is a baking instructor at Madison College and the author of the book, A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. So we'll talk with him about the basics of bread making, and he also has a couple of cookbooks to recommend. And certainly we are more than interested in your own bread baking questions or experiences. I hope you'll join in the conversation. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And Paul Novak, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
Good. You know, George Winston, Jane Rotunda said, we ought to play a little George Winston music. And I said, you know, George Winston and Paul Novak go back a ways.
Yeah, way back to 1980. I was working at Discount Records. I'd already been doing my award show, so I'd been playing his music, and then his new music came out in 1980. And at Discount, we traded albums, his album for us to sell, and he took other things. And so, yes, I've known him a long time. And then he produced. I commissioned some music for use in the cookbook.
Yeah, it was really cool when Jane mentioned George Winston. I thought, oh, well, that's perfect. That's perfect way to talk about bread when you've got Paul Novak on. Well, let's talk about bread baking here. You've said the main variables of baking bread are ingredients, time, temperature, and technique. So let's talk about them a bit. Let's start with the ingredients. They affect more than taste, right?
Yes, obviously. There's so many different ways to go with ingredients. For example, if you use whole wheat flour or not, what kind of white flour you use, if you're using all-purpose or bread flour. So, yeah, millions of different variations. Mm-hmm. With ingredients.
Yeah. And you know what? Nancy Ingrathen is online here, and I want to get her in. We'll come back to all the various variables here, but Nancy's has a question about Stolens, I think. Nancy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for being there. Boy, I tell you, my mixer is ready. Anyhow, and the Rich Christmas Stollen that has been in the Electric Company cookbook for years, and it always says, and I've been making this, but it says that you should scald the milk and cool it to lukewarm, you know, because you're using yeast. And then it says 1 ounce of yeast cake. Well, the milk that we get is all pasteurized. I don't know if it needs to be scalded and then, you know, what the heck that's all about. That's one question. And the other question is, if you're using dry yeast, powdered stuff, and it says 1 ounce of yeast cake, well, you can't get that cake, you know, that we used to get when I was a little kid. You can't get that anymore. So I always use the dry yeast. So how much is that dry yeast equivalent to a cake of yeast for 1 ounce cake?
Hmm. Okay, number of good questions there. For one thing, you still can get cake yeast. It's still available. And 1 ounce of the cake yeast would be approximately a tablespoon of the dry yeast. But I will warn you, the little packets no longer have a tablespoon. It's like two and a third teaspoons. So buy it in a jar. It's way cheaper to get it that way. And what was the first question again?
About scalded?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's in old recipes when you might have had milk that was, you know, right from the cow. where you had to scald it to deactivate the enzymes. So essentially, ignore that forever. Yeah, you do not have to scald milk anymore. Just like sifting flour, very few people do that anymore.
Yeah. There we go, Nancy. Thank you so much. Well, there's a couple of techniques that we've done away with here right off the bat.
Right, and some people like the taste of cake yeast over the active dry yeast. So there's a preference there.
Where do you get it?
In Madison, Metcalf's has typically had it.
Otherwise around the state, can you?
I would guess Red Star, is no longer made in Milwaukee, but they still have their headquarters there. So, or Fleischmann's. So it not every store is going to have it, but it's not that hard to find. It doesn't keep very well. So that is one of the issues. Use it quickly.
Yeah, lots of bread baking in the last 8 months or so, I think, anyway. It seems like there are more and more people are baking.
Yeah, that's the story. For me, I do it every week, so my life hasn't been changed that much. One thing I wanted to mention is, in terms of yeast, you can freeze it. And if you get, for example, instant yeast, which is a different kind of yeast, which you don't have to put in water, you'll probably get a half kilo, a pound of it in a big bag. Well, pour some out and freeze the rest and bring it out later. So freezing does not hurt yeast. High temperature does. Freezing doesn't.
All right. Paul Novak, our guest today. Join in with your own questions as we move along here. What does... more or less time due to bread?
Well, some people would argue that taking time with bread brings out the flavors better. And there's a whole cool rise method, meaning some days you're not going to get to your bread, and you can create the dough, put it in the refrigerator, let it rise slowly overnight, bring it out, do another rise. That's a way to play with time. And temperature. So sometimes if you've got more time or your house is cold, it's going to take a longer time, or else you preheat the oven, create a little proofing box if your house is cold, if you want to play with temperature that way. So, time is something to be sort of savored, but temperature is not always in your control. But maybe, using the oven for a proofing box, for example.
Yeah. How much time does it take?
Well, in another sense, let's just say you make a basic batch. Say it takes you a half hour to put together the dough. You would rise it for an hour, approximately, maybe more. Another rise, and then a bake. So you might have 3.5 hours. But you could, for example, will start things the day before. I cook some oatmeal, let it sit overnight, get sourdough or sour rye going. The next day, make the bread. So that bread has taken 36 hours, in a sense.
But you're not just standing there looking at it.
Right. You're doing other things, right. If you're a baker in a restaurant, you're just going on to the next batch. You're overlapping. So, yes, they never stop. But at home, you can stop.
Yeah. Paul Novak, our guest today, baking instructor at Madison College. He's the author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. Great to have him with us. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments or maybe bread experiences to share at 800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Take a quick look at the news, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back. I'm Larry Mueller. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network as we talk baking bread with our guest, Paul Novak. He's a baking instructor at Madison College, the author of the book, A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. He's here to help you with your bread making skills. Do you constantly have the same problem when baking bread? Do you want to try baking bread but not sure where to start? Paul's here to help. Give a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Paul, we have some callers online with questions for you. So let's go to the phone. Samantha in Whitehall, we'll go to you first. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Anyway, when my grandma was alive, my dad's mom, she had a white bread recipe that she always used to make bread, and it always smelled good in the house. But now I'm more health conscious as far as the white stuff, you know, trying to keep my weight down and stuff. But anyway, I was just wondering if you could take that same recipe and just variate it with, like, maybe wheat, you know, because I once in a while eat bread or, you know, some other kind of more healthier alternative to that recipe.
Sure.
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Samantha.
My suggestion would be to add ingredients to begin with, like wheat germ, wheat bran, oat bran, to make it healthier. If you add whole wheat, you're going to really change the bread. And there's rice bran. You could put in some dried oatmeal, though let it, you know, you might want to soak it first. So that would be my suggestion. Add some other healthier ingredients. Keep it a white bread, but in a sense a fortified white bread. And dry milk is a way to increase the nutrition without changing the, you know, the bread quite a bit, or sour milk, or yogurt, potato water, a lot of different things you can add and sort of keep the character.
So let's say wheat bran, for example. I mean, do you have to take out some flour if you're adding wheat bran?
Yes, or? I mean you'd add like a half a cup. You could add half a cup of oat bran. And then you'll have to modify the white flour at the end. But you should be doing that anyways.
Oh, okay.
Every batch is different.
So you mentioned white bran, rice bran, oat bran. Did you mention another bran? I forgot.
I mentioned oat, wheat, rice.
Okay.
Each has a bran. Yeah. And wheat germ.
Right. Yeah. And wheat germ. That was the one that I was...
Yeah, yeah.
Forgetting. Okay, let's take a call from Barbara in Delafield next. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, yes, this is Barbara. I have an unusual kind of a question in a way. There used to be a bakery in Chicago that was called Bruno's Bakery. He was an old German man. And I need to say I came from Germany originally, although I've been here for 71 years now. And they had a bread that was called health bread. It was like a brick. You couldn't dent it with a hammer. It was chopped rye. It was all rye, but chopped rye and other, I don't know. It was so good. You can't get anything like it. Nobody picked up the recipe. Nobody bought Bruno's Bakery. They're now not there. That was the bread that I really, really, really want back. And the other one was called Hansa bread, based on the Hansa recipe, you know, the Hansas that lived in the Himalayas, I believe it was, which was a round loaf, was also good. The other one was a rectangular loaf, about as high as a brick, and like I said, was like brick. Do you know ever anything where one can get something, or do you know anything how to bake something like that?
There's a bakery outside of Madison called, I think, Cress Farms, and they bake in a stone wood-fired oven. And I know they have some Swiss breads, or at least they used to, that were fairly dense. One of those breads you describe is probably a pumpernickel, cracked rye. There are Ezekiel breads that are very dense. it's a style that you should be able to find, but it's probably going to have different names. And yes, some of them are going to be very heavy, very dense. You know, some people cut them very thinly. Yeah, you'll just have to search.
Yeah,
it should be out there.
And Kress, is that K-R-E-S-S? Kress
I think
Farms?
C-R-E-S-S.
C-R-E-S-S.
Yeah, I hope they're still around.
Okay. Barbara, good luck with your searching, and Kress may have some help for you there, too. If you look that up online, maybe they're online. So thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly here. Or you can email us at ideas@WPR.org.
So, Larry, can I make some comments about leftovers?
Yeah.
This is something that incorporates ingredients, time, and techniques all at the same time. For example, you want stale bread for French toast. That's what it originally was. If you have fresh bread, purposely stale it, meaning take some time. Bread pudding is with stale bread. Trifle is meant to be used. Stale cake is meant to be used for that. The British have a great recipe called Bubble and Squeak, which is about leftovers. French-speaking Canada, pudding chômeur, unemployed man's pudding, which in the Depression used stale bread. You can use stale cereal. You can use old rice. But again, you're going to have to take some time. If, for example, just like plumping raisins, just like putting rolled oats in water, perhaps, so they don't dry out your dough. So interesting ingredients. Take your time and think about techniques. And it's about frugality at the same time.
Yeah, about frugality for sure. Well, many things can affect these elements. Let's talk a bit more about the cooler house, for example. How do you adjust? You know, you talked about putting the bread in proof it in the oven, but what kind of temperature, or how do you do that?
You would just turn up the oven to say 250, let it warm up a little bit, turn it off, and then put your bread in. And a proofing box is really meant to keep the bread out of drafts. You know, a bakery has a whole room for it. My son just made some ulekaka, and he put hot water, a container of hot water in the oven, and then put the bread in. And the heat, you know, you just really want 80 degrees. You know, you're not going for real high heat. So that's one basic way. Somebody else could, just to keep it out of a draft, if they had a big enough microwave, you know, not turned on, but just put it in there to get it into a box. But yes, in the winter, that is an issue. But then we get back to time. Your bread's going to take longer time to rise.
Well, it makes sense. Jane in Portage, your turn. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I'm interested in making a brioche bread, and
okay.
I wondered if there was, I've never made it before. I've made bread, but not brioche, and I wondered if you had any suggestions. I know it involves more butter and a little bit more kneading.
Yeah, that's a fancier French-style bread. I'm not sure I've ever made it. To be honest, it doesn't have a lot of nutrition. I'm interested in breads I can toast or use for grilled cheese. So I either make really holiday breads like ulekaka or that. But incorporating butter into any, you know, like a puff pastry is all about keeping it chilled. Some people will actually freeze it. So there's a million techniques for dealing with cold same kind of thing you'd do with a pie crust. You'd make your pie crust, put it in the refrigerator for hours before you roll it out. Again, time, technique, and treating the oil, in this case butter, as something that needs to be cold.
Oh, interesting. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Martha in Menominee, your turn. Hi, Martha.
Oh, hello. Good. The cavalry is on the way to rescue me. I appreciate this so much. I just made my grandmother's stolen recipe, German stolen. She used to bake a batch of about 5 or 6 loaves at a time. I want to cut that recipe in half. I'll never go through that much. She had used the old-fashioned packets of yeast, cakes of yeast. I now have, you know, yeast in a jar for bread machines. So I'm wondering if your guest can help me decipher this and get it right, you know, so I don't waste half a day, because there's a lot of kneading and a lot of rising going on here. She used to use 2 pads of yeast, and my dad said in his deciphered writing on the recipe, 2 packets of yeast would equal 5 teaspoons. Now, I want to cut this recipe in half. She used, I'm looking at the recipe right here. She used, for this stolen, she would start with half a cup of honey, half a cup of sugar, and a stick of butter. And then eventually 5 to 6 cups of flour down the road after you've started it with a little bit of flour. So I made 3 loaves the other night, and it turned out okay, but I think I used way too much bread machine yeast. So can your guest help me get that? If I want to cut it in half, and she was using 5 teaspoons of yeast, should I just try 2.5 of the bread machine yeast, or do I cut that even more?
To be honest, I do not know how bread machine yeast differs from active dry yeast. I never use it. I use just plain active dry yeast. So the 5 teaspoons is essentially, you know, 2 tablespoons, that which seems right for a batch. You can just have the yeast. You can play with salt which also affects yeast action. But again, I'm not familiar with bread machine yeast. I don't know how it differs.
I can't imagine it'd be that much different.
Can't be that much different, yeah, because instant yeast is about the same. It's just you treat it differently. Now, is this, so your stolen is fairly high fat, but it also incorporates yeast, correct?
And I'm wondering if maybe just to keep it pure, a trip to the grocery store for the old-fashioned packet of yeast wouldn't be in order.
And I buy it in the jar, because then you can measure exactly what you want. I mean, you can do your 5 teaspoons, or, you know, if you're going to have it, you know, 1 tablespoon, for example. I make a stollen. I don't put in all the raisins and whatnot. But it's a wonderful kind of thing, because it's yeast, but it's also very short, meaning it's heavy with fat. And it does freeze well, too. So I might encourage you to just make your regular recipe and freeze the other one, freeze some of them, and bring them out in a week or 2 weeks.
Oh, a week or two.
I'm getting away from frugality on this one, sorry.
Martha, there you go. Oh, thank you for calling. Ellen in the O Show, your turn. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Larry and guests. Thanks so much for having me on. This is just such a great topic. I'm calling about Barbara and her search for a good, heavy, brick-like bread. I have found a bread like this. It's made by One Love Bread in Withy, Wisconsin, and they do mail order. I've been ordering them from them for about 6 to 8 months, and I just love their sourdough breads.
So One Love Bread is the name of the bakery?
One Love Bread is the bakery, and it's in Withy, W-I-T-H-E-E, Wisconsin.
Owen Withy, yeah. with the
Wisconsin. They have a website, and they describe all their breads. I think they've got some of the best bread I've ever tasted, and I'm a baker.
Well, I tell you what, I circled that in my notes here, Ellen, and I'm probably going to give them a try. One Love Bread and Withy, and you get something that's like kind of a brick. Why not? Thank you. Thank you very much.
And my suggestion would be, if you like heavy rye breads, make sure it's got a sour rye culture. There used to be a bakery in Chicago, I think, called Otto's, that made a very good sour rye bread. Not the real dense kind, the brick, but also fairly strong tasting of rye, which I like.
Kathy, thanks, Ellen. Kathy in Fitchburg, is going the other direction from brick. What do you got for us, Kathy?
Hi, thank you for taking the call. I'm wondering what causes bread to be kind of heavy and tough, and how it can be made more tender.
Well, sometimes you can over-knead bread. You can develop, in a sense, too much gluten. For example, if somebody was using a food processor and they let it go too long, the bread's going to get tough. Sometimes people will therefore under-knead the bread, but then you could also do an extra rise, which tends to give you a different crumb, which means the whole pattern. You could use less heavy ingredients if you want your bread to be lighter. You could let it, you do your final rise and let it bloom in the oven, oven spring. So there are different ways to get a lighter bread. But if you underproof it, then you might have it undercooked in the middle. So it's a balancing act sometimes.
Yeah. Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate it. Lynn in Eau Claire, your turn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Larry. I love your show.
Thank you.
A bread baker, and a lot of people who do not have celiac have distress from gluten. And in a book, it's Andrew Whitley's Bread Matters, an overnight slow rise effectively destroys the amylase that causes gastric distress. You're not doing anything overnight. So often my final rise will be, or my second, before I pan, it'll be a rise overnight, a long, cool, slow rise. And people who have had GI distress and have eaten the bread can eat the bread. So I just wanted to share that.
Oh, thank you, Lynn.
And for some people, using sourdough, using sour rye, taking that extra time, the extra fermentation, sometimes helps. And I'll throw out one other thing, is that some people are not actually intolerant of gluten, but it's sometimes also the carbohydrates in the bread, meaning there are some people who can handle spelt way better than whole wheat. It's, clearly it's all got gluten, but it's a very complicated thing with gluten and the carbohydrates and the different kinds of wheats, emmer and farro and on.
Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it. Julie is a food scientist at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, but a UW alum, and she emailed in, she's listening, that scalding the milk, going back to that, may have been used for microbial reasons, but scalding the milk changes the lactose in the milk, making the milk taste a bit sweeter. If you've ever tasted a latte or a cafe au lait, you should have noticed a different taste than just adding milk.
Yeah, and for me, that would be not worth doing, or I wouldn't notice it. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. In some breads, it would make sense too. Yeah.
Granny mailed that longer cool fermentation always makes a better tasting, longer lasting loaf, he thinks. So resist the temptation to ferment too quickly.
If I can make a couple more comments about frugality, if you want to reduce the oil in bread, use applesauce or lekvar, which is prune puree. And last thing, for banana bread, you want overripe bananas where you've turned some of the carbohydrates into sugars. So, again, time.
Time. And you have two books to recommend, and here we're running out of time. Bernard Clayton's Complete Book of Breads?
Yes, it's still one of my favorites. And what other one did you have? Their Tassajara bread book? But
yes.
Beatrice Oyakongas has some great Scandinavian books. Yes, the Secrets of the Jewish Baker is another good one for rye.
Greenstein, yeah. Greenstein. Those well, those are all good suggestions. And I tell you what, it's been a pleasure as always.
We always run out of time, Larry.
Yeah, we still had a few more to go. But thank you so much. I guess Saul noted the email that the Racine Bakery in Chicago has Lithuanian sour rye and many other European breads, and they will ship. So there's another one. Thank you, Paul, so much.
Okay,
appreciate
thanks,
it very
thanks,
much.
Thanks, Larry. Always enjoy it.
Paul Novak, baking instructor at Madison College, the author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. Always fun to have him come by. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk birds with Bill Volkert. You can join us starting at 11 on the Ideas Network. Looking forward to that. And Santa Claus joins us from the North Pole on Christmas Eve, so all the youngsters can call Santa on Christmas Eve. Thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.